But people in front, they had no problem hearing me. Genesis 18:25. Abraham is talking to God, and God has told him he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 23, Abraham says, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" That's quite a statement. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, let's kind of put it in a different way. How well do you know God? What do you know about God? A person who would accuse God or blame God for evil, how well do they know God? A person that would accuse God of evil or not doing right, how well do they know God? They don't know God. Now, I think it's important for us to word it that way. To blame God for evil, or to think that God did not do right, is to reveal a false understanding of who God is. Now remember, the problem is people make God to be who they think he is. Rather than accepting who God has revealed himself to be, and to believe it and to know it. Okay? Now, what is the ramifications of just this statement that we make? Abraham says, "Will not the God of all the earth do right?" Yeah, exactly. Okay? Now again, how important is it for us to have the correct understanding who God is? Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, that's good. He is perfectly righteous in his judgment. Okay, in other words, his judgment is perfectly equitable. It's perfectly meted out. It is perfectly just. Okay? And there's a ramification of that. We'll get to that probably in a moment. Is God just? All right? It was a just God who had to send Jesus Christ. It was a just God who had to send Jesus Christ. Now, the same people who would want to accuse God of evil in judgment, okay, are the same people who would like to think or like to say, "Well, God can just forgive me." God can just forget. Okay? Now, again, that reveals a wrong definition of God. God cannot just forget. I was talking to a Muslim girl She went to a Catholic school, was Muslim, and obviously really twisted her thinking. And I don't remember the whole conversation, but I said, now, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God who paid the perfect sacrifice, if you just consider him a prophet, a good man, you know, how are you going to make it to heaven? And she said, well, God will just forgive me. And I said, well, are you going to be able to keep the laws of Islam perfectly? You know, just giving her what if, you know? And she said, obviously, no. Well, then how are you going to be? Oh, God will just forgive me. You see, what is that? Wrong definition of God. Okay? Wrong definition. Okay, let's say it a different way. Who is it that is supposed to determine who God is? You or I? Or the Bible? Or God? God, and he is revealed by what? By his word. Okay? So, let's go back. Let's be practical here now. So, if a person is bitter against God, what's the problem? Huh? Okay, in that sense, our focus, it usually reveals the focus is on self, but...
Or on, it can be on, you know, on even the world focus on others, or what the word is allowing the difficulty.
Okay. Yes, that's true. It could be focus on how this affects me. It could be a focus on a wrong focus that says, you know, what I feel is more important than the spiritual. Okay. But isn't the problem... real problem is our definition of God. Okay? Let me put it from a practical standpoint. Somewhere along the line, I finally realized that I am never going to ask God why. I am never going to ask God why. Because I'm not going to question why God is going to do something, because I know that God always does right. And for me to question what he does, most of the time that questioning is a doubt, a questioning of his goodness. All right? Now, we could ask God why, not in the questioning of his what he is doing, but we could ask God why so he could show me what he's trying to do for me. Okay? The Bible says, we know that all things work together for good, That's the why we don't ever have to question what God's doing. On the other hand, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, wisdom for what? What's this trial for? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Okay? But we should never question God. Where do we get that from? Where do we get that from? We get that from the devil. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Hath God said? What is God doing? Oh, God, he's trying to keep something from you. He's trying to keep you from having the knowledge of good and evil. He's bad God. You can't trust him. Okay? Now, so I think to question God is human. It's also sinfully human. And it's also what the world does. I guarantee if you read a lot of books from the world, listen to a lot of TV or whatever, guess what you're going to do? You're going to accidentally, okay, we're going to accidentally accept their definition of God. Okay? And the world's definition of God is a person you cannot know, you cannot trust, he is not good, he is sovereignly evil. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So, I mean, this is really important. Okay? Now, I'm going to illustrate one more time. You know, in other words, for instance, I grew up in an unsafe family. And all my life, the word wine meant alcoholic beverage. Okay? So then, I go to Bible college, and I realize from an academic standpoint and from a linguistic standpoint that the word that's translated wine in the Bible, the Greek word, the Hebrew word for wine that's translated wine, is a generic term. It means either alcoholic beverage or grape juice. And that until 1892, Webster's Dictionary, you'll find in the word wine, 1892, it will say grape juice, number one, number two, alcoholic beverage. Okay? So, as a person, as a Christian, I had to, every time my mind thought of the word wine, I had to re-educate it with the facts. And by believing the facts over and over, finally, the truth was implanted in my mind. And so I read the word wine in the Bible, I read correctly. Okay? If it's a negative context, it's probably alcoholic beverage. If it's a positive context, it isn't an alcoholic beverage. Okay? So, but you know, you don't do that by feeling. You do that by purpose. You have to re-educate your mind, okay? So, in this case, many people, most people, are brought up in a world where you can blame God. Or you can blame evil on God, okay? And, you know, I don't know, I can almost distinctly remember somewhere in my life that I was wrestling with this. And I decided that it would be wrong for me to ever question what God was doing. and to that I was not going to ever ask God why in this incriminating manner. Because God always does good. Okay? So, you know what? We have to go back to a place of, okay, let's go to the correct definition of God. God is good. Now that helps me as an individual to accept the trial. It helps me as an individual to accept my responsibility and to say, you know what? I got my problems, and these are a result of my problems, and I can't blame God for my problems. Okay, Dominique? And what you made a good point is now people who are not in the know will get the idea that that's okay to do that. Well, that's not okay to do that. Okay? It's not okay. Okay? It's never right even in the foggiest form, to think evil of God. Carol. Well, there's a very good point. Okay, again, we're Americans. We're soft. We like comfort, and we don't like trials. Okay, and I think it was years ago I read about Eastern European Christians who were going through persecution. And they says, you know, we don't understand Americans. Americans are soft. They don't like trials. But the Bible says, I admit I don't like them either, okay? But the Bible says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into diverse trials. Okay? Now, what if you don't count it all joy? Well, how can you count it all joy if you don't believe in the goodness of God? Okay? Now, what if you're... Okay, so I can remember when Jonathan and Josh were little boys, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, probably close to that. And we had a garden. And I would have... I'd assign them, 2, 3 rows to hoe and weed, okay? And I was up at church, and about every hour I'd have to go down to the house, you know, and check how they were doing, okay? Because you know what would happen if I didn't check what they were doing, right? Right? So, now, they could have... Now, why did I do that? Well, obviously, you wanted the weeds to be gone, but I probably could have gotten the weeds done faster than them. But I realized I had a job before God to train them to have character. And I would be doing an injustice to them if they didn't know how to work. I would not be doing my job as a dad. Now, they could have, and maybe their sinful nature would have wanted them to think that I was evil. Now, if you have a lazy person and you try to make them work, they definitely are going to call you evil, right? Okay? Take someone from the inner city that's lived off welfare and try to make them work. They are going to call you evil. Okay? But they could have doubted my character because it isn't perfect. And they could have been, you know, thought evil of me. But that wasn't the truth. What was I doing? I was trying to fill in their life what they didn't have. Okay? And God is much better than that. Better than that. God is trying to put in our lives what we don't have. Right? And what is it that we don't have? Well, we won't know unless we do what? What does it say in James? Turn there quickly. We won't have what God is trying to give us if we don't do a couple things here. It says, verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's faith. But that's a command, isn't it? Then it says, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. The patience is what? Endurance. Okay? So, we say, I want this trial over right now. Is that letting in patience have her perfecting work? No. So what are we doing? We're resisting God, aren't we? We're resisting His plan. And we're not letting Him work in our life because we are all upset about this trial. And number one, we need to have faith in God. Number two, we need to believe that God is good. And number three, we need to endure it. How do we endure it? Two things. We accept it and we ask God's grace. Now sometimes we're so weak that all we can do is ask God's grace to hang on. But that's what we need. Yes, Donna.
Okay. So someone with
well, no, but you're making a mistake. Who abused him? God? No. Catholic Church. What did they suffer from? The sin of men. Okay? What is that person supposed to do? That person is supposed to have from this, say, wait a minute. The Catholic Church did it. Evil men did it. Sin did it. Okay? Let me explain it a different way. Here's a person who has a drunkard father. Okay? And the drunkard wastes their money, beats up the kids, beats the wife. Okay? All right? They have 11 kids. What will 9 of them do? 9 of them will become drunkards. Why? Because they didn't call sin, sin. They did not call the sin of selfishness sin. They didn't call the sin of drinking sin. They didn't call sin, sin. And so they grow up, and because they have not correctly identified sin, they're going to do it themselves. Okay? And they are incorrectly, and you know, that person might blame God. God didn't do it. God had nothing to do with it. Now, God offers them cleansing. God offers them healing. Now, how do you, now here's another question. How do you, well, this is a big subject, but how do you get healing? You get healing. Let me give you a simplistic definition. Because let's not get into psychology and all that stuff that nobody understands. You get automatic healing by obedience. You know, I grew up in an unsaved home. And there was an occasion that somebody in the family was having some trouble. And they went to see a psychologist. And our family met with this psychologist. And looking back at that situation after I got saved, which was just a few years later, I said, you know what? Well, I'm sure glad that I didn't spend time going to a psychologist. Because that psychologist would have said, I had this major problem, 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 I had this major problem. But you know what? By getting saved and obeying Christ, guess what happened? Those major problems began to disappear. Because there's healing in Christ. Okay? Obedience to Christ. We don't understand it, okay? But it's real, okay? It's real. And that healing starts by accepting Christ. But if we refuse to obey Him, if we limit God, what are we doing? We are limiting the healing that He can do in our life, okay? Now, let's be honest here for a minute, okay? Okay? How many Christians here, adults, want to go all the way with God? How many people want to go all the way with God? Now, we can kind of be a little bit pious, but ask young people. How many young people want to go all the way with God? Well, number one reason that young people don't go all the way with God is their parents. Because their parents don't want to go all the way with God, but they want their kids to go all the way with God. Doesn't work that way, does it? Okay? So, but the healing comes by going all the way with God. But when we limit God, okay, we don't get His healing. Now, in this, in coming back to a different standpoint, what does a person do that went through all of those things as a Christian? Okay? Well, what do? They go all the way with God. And you know what? When you go all the way with God, what happens? Your trust factor of life that has been destroyed is rebuilt. How is it rebuilt? Romans 5. Tribulation worketh experience. And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, that the love of God may be shed abroad in our heart. When we resist trials, we are resisting God's plan of teaching us hope and trust and love. But when we accept the trials of life and don't blame God and take the responsibility that is ours, whatever it might be, and trust God, what do we have? We have that which somebody else destroyed. We have it returned to normal. But how do you get it? You only get it through God. So if a person had the trust factor in life destroyed by some wicked sinner, okay, how are they going to get it rebuilt? How does the Bible say it's going to get rebuilt? And how it's going to get be rebuilt? By trials. And trusting God in those trials and seeing the God of heaven work miraculously and seeing the truth, God works all things together for good. But this is what we do as humans. As humans, we go through the trial and we say, that's it. That's it. I'm going to protect myself. Okay? I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to serve God all out. I'm not going to put myself in a place of where I'm going to get hurt again. I'm not going to invest myself in people's lives where they might turn on me.
Did something with that microphone.
I'm not going to do it. Okay? Is that what we do?
Yeah.
We put this wall out there and we resist God's working. And here is it. Here's the how the Lord helped me now. I'm trying to find this thing. Oh, it's there. It's still there. Okay. When we get to those places, we have to look to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Christ knew how people would abuse him. And they would turn on him. He knew that from the beginning. He knew who Judas was. But did that keep him from giving himself? No. And you see, that's what we have to do. We have to say, I will give myself by faith. I will put myself in that vulnerable position again. I will reinvest my life. Okay? And rather than getting in the shell, we give ourselves anew and afresh to the Lord. And then we're able to see. We're able to look back and say, praise the Lord. All things work together for good. Now I know it. But we don't know it if we don't reinvest ourselves in the Lord once we get burned or we get hurt or whatever it is. You know, there's so many things. I guess the crowd, the door's crying. But, you know, as parents, sometimes parents, we put ourselves in a shell. We said, well, I got hurt with one child. That's it. Forget it. I'm checking out as a parent. You know what I'm saying? And you just can go. There's all these things that we can use to check out. And when we check out, rather than being healed from wherever God is going to use that to heal us from, the devil wants to use it to destroy us. God is bigger than it, and he's going to use it to heal us. And that's the victory. That's not easy, is it? That's not easy at all. But with the Lord, there's, you know, let's pray. Father, pray that you'd bless, Lord, your word in this time that we've had, and help us, Lord, to take these simple but great important truths and to believe them and act upon them. In Jesus' name.